The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned the title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring. You're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 281 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by our SmackDown Matters correspondent, the one and only, Miss Dee Dee Jonay.
Well, hello, friend.
What's up, friend? It is hashtag Rona Mania Weekend.
Yeah, man.
Vince McMahon said, fuck it, you're going to be in the house, you're going to need something to watch, I got you.
He said, might as well watch this 2 days worth of bullshit.
This deal with ESPN fell through to try to get it on some type of pay-per-view subscription. But wow. Vince is a tireless worker, and they worked something out with Fox. So, through the Fox apps, Fox Sports, FS1, you can purchase WrestleMania for $60 through their app.
Yeah, right.
Or you could just sign up for WWE Network. Your choice.
Financially, I don't know why I would do the one, but sure. Okay.
You know, they've been trying to get, for the last few years, they've been trying to figure out a way to enhance the network, get more money out of people. And this is one way that they're trying to do that, is it looks like they're trying to move maybe the big four pay-per-views off of the network into onto more of a pay-per-view tier if they can get away with it.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose. But moreover, what was the point of taking all that blood money from Saudi Arabia if you weren't going to use them to get money? Like, I'm not paying $60 for the WrestleMania. Not when I can take my ass to my house. Because I'm not paying $60 to go see anybody's WrestleMania. Like, I'm just not going to do it. There are too many alternative means for me to pay $60. $10 an hour you want me to pay? Are you serious?
Basically.
Get out of my face. No, I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do that, dog.
I hear you. Before we jump into the news, just to let everybody know, this is the WrestleCast, CSPN. You can find us there each and every week on CSPN.us. You can also find us on the, you know, podcast apps, iTunes, Spotify, all those good things. Just look us up, the WrestleCast - the CSPN. So we've got some news. Last week it was breaking news, but this week we have the details of what happened. Why Roman Reigns pulled out of the match with Bill Goldberg.
Because he loves himself. Okay, wait, why?
Okay. So apparently, the second week of tapings, The Miz showed up sick. The Miz wrestled the Usos while he was sick.
What a piece of shit.
So in turn, the Usos were pissed, which in turn, Roman was pissed, and they all said, fuck it, we out.
What a piece of shit. You know there's the coronavirus going on. So it's like, yeah, you could just have the flu, but who knows? Why would you risk it for stay-at-home Corona Mania. Like, that is so... See, white people, they will disappoint you every single time. Every time.
And thus, that is the story behind Roman Reigns saying that he can no longer, in good consciousness, continue to perform in this climate, even in the controlled, quote-unquote, environment of the Performance Center.
He said, you got me fucked up. You love to see it. Because how dare you? Like, the Usos got kids, wives, got their cousin who's immunocompromised, because just because he's in remission don't mean anything. Not really. Not in the grand scheme of things. Oh, I would have beat his ass.
Yeah, he lucky he didn't get one from the, Tamina's back too. Because, man, it could have been like a 5-on-1.
All of them all could have came and whooped his ass.
And yeah, Naomi would have been right in there too. I'm counting her.
Yeah, she count. She's someone by marriage. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the 4-1-1 on the Roman Reigns situation. That was breaking news last week. Thank you once again to Miss Laura Singh for that contribution to last week's show. So, Miss Didi Janae, we don't have a third person to have a lot of fun with this. I don't think it would have been a lot of fun with the lack of excitement building into the event as a whole. So we're just going to talk about the hashtag RonaMania card. So please join us Saturday and Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we share our pro wrestling commentary with color on a very unique presentation of WrestleMania. So our underneath matches for this year's RonaMania, we got Otis against Dolph Ziggler, which probably really would have been one of the better matches in front of a crowd, because the fans really would have been into Otis finally getting his hands on Dolph. Elias versus King Corbin. Didi Jonet will be tuned in and very intently into that one.
I've got questions, but they're spoilers, so I can't.
Okay. Yeah.
Or are they spoilers? Yeah, they probably are.
Well,
let's... The days are like going into, like, I can't.
I don't know what the order is of the matches, if that's what you want to know.
No, that's not it. The last time I saw them, somebody looked like they had a broken back. So I'm trying to figure out where we're going with this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the healing powers of wrestlers are...
The healing power of Corona Mania? Is that what it is?
Right. Alice.
That's it. Ooh, who are those people? Oh, I'm doing the thing that I do where I watch that other show because WWE is boring.
Oh, yes. I think you may be talking about the Dark Order members 8 and 9. Are they wrestling Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall?
No. I'm still on, who is this curly haired character? Kenny Omega.
And Trent Beretta. Oh, you're still at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Just started. That's a hell of a match you're watching there, just for the record.
Oh, Trent, you said his name?
Yes.
I don't know him.
Yes. He was a really good wrestler of New Japan Pro Wrestling for about 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then he made the jump from New Japan, kind of in a surprise move, because he was actually kind of moving up in the singles ranks. He had been in tag teams, and then he broke off and was becoming a pretty good singles wrestler. And then he came to AEW.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
In the I don't know why the hell we're having this match, Aleister Black is facing off with Bobby Lashley. They haven't,
because he got a fight, remember? He said he was going to start bullying people.
Well, I mean, they ain't got no story or nothing. Lashley just going to show up, get beat, and go back home?
I mean, why not? What else is there to do in the middle of the Ronas?
Kevin,
you know, that's probably what it is. I'm sorry, that's probably what it is. He had to be quarantined from his wife, so he was like, might as well have a match.
Yeah,
told him he couldn't go home. Yeah. Ain't like there's no flights.
True. Kevin Owens is gonna face off against the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. That match could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite, John Cena.
Oh, you're rude.
He's facing off against The Fiend in a Firefly Funhouse match, I think this is going to be.
What does it mean?
I guess it'll be something like the House of Horrors or whatever he did with Randy Orton. I don't know.
Okay.
The Undertaker is going to face off against AJ Styles in a Boneyard match.
What's that mean?
I guess they're going to have it in like some type of cemetery or something like that.
Okay.
Probably the match that should highlight the whole damn thing. Edge versus Randy Orton in a last man standing. Too bad that this has to be a WrestleMania with no people, because this has been a very well built situation here. Okay, let's just give you the news about Edge. Because this came out too. Mm-hmm. So apparently, you know, he's been doing the TV shows and things like that. Well, I think he said he was riding his bicycle. I don't think he was riding a motorcycle. He was riding his bicycle.
Wow.
And he had like a wipeout, right?
On his bicycle.
Yes. Okay. So he had this tremendous wipeout, took this big bump or whatever, and he was fine.
Okay.
So he got to thinking.
Right.
Well, if I could do that and I'm fine, what about wrestling again? So
is that how it happened?
Yeah. So he started getting checked out and working out a little bit harder and got checked out, went to a doctor here, doctor there. Then he went to the main WWE guy, and the main WWE guy cleared him and said, yeah, you're good. And so he said that he wanted to keep it a secret, so he didn't want to go to the performance center or do anything like that where people would see.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they shipped him a ring to his house in Asheville, and him and Beth, along with The Revival, because they ain't doing shit.
Right.
Got him back up and ready to go for Royal Rumble and subsequently WrestleMania as well.
That's a cute story.
Yep. I guess on one of these nights after WrestleMania, they're going to have the 24 of that basically tells the story in greater detail and, you know, day leading up to it and everything.
That's nice.
Yeah. Sami Zayn is defending the IC title against Daniel Bryan. Unfortunately, bad things keep happening to our man Andrade. He's hurt. He's got a bad rib. So he couldn't be in this year's hashtag Aronamania.
Aww.
So the Street Profits are going to defend their Raw Tag Team titles against Angel Garza and Austin Theory.
Okay.
Bayley, she's going to defend that SmackDown Women's title. She's going to defend it in a fatal five-way against Lacey Evans, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina. The Kabuki Warriors. They're going to defend those women's tag team titles. I forgot what they look like.
Aren't they white?
No, they're not.
No?
I think they're like golden blue.
I could have sworn they were white.
They're going to face off and defend the titles against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Becky Lynch will be defending her Raw Women's title against Shayna Baszler. For the NXT Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley is defending her title against Charlotte Flair. The replacement for Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, is going to go up against Bill Goldberg for the Universal title.
Oh, our problematic men.
All he had to do was be good for like 3 more weeks.
It's just like, Why must you block your blessings?
And then our final matchup, Brock Lesnar defends the WWE title against Drew McIntyre. And those are your matches for this year's WrestleMania two-night affair. Miss Didi Chaudhry, it's been very dry the lead up to this. Is there anything in particular that you say you are looking forward to, or you would like to see it, how they played it out?
I look forward to being disappointed. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think it's been well established that I just don't trust those people over there at the WWE. So, in a perfect world, Elias would win. Definitively, the Kabuki Warriors would win. You know, the Albino Gorilla would lose. You know, that's how it goes in my head. But I don't look forward to disappointments. So no, I'm not looking forward to anything.
All right. Well, I'm going to create the poll so everybody can vote over the next.
What your old president said? Don't boo. Vote. Yeah.
With the so they can vote over the next couple of days on these matches, and we'll see what happens with people's thoughts, who they think are gonna win, and what their overall temperature is for this year's WrestleMania. I wasn't really buzzed about it coming into it when everything was normal a month ago, So I can definitely say, yeah, it's a lot colder for me,
yeah. Because where our buildup should be, there is none. Even at the best of times, the buildup would have been suspicious. So it's like,
yeah, it really makes them having to do Super Showdown and the Elimination Chamber so close together look like so foolhardy now. Because They could have used all that time to build up WrestleMania, and then if this would have happened, it still would have had a lot more continuity going towards WrestleMania than what they had.
Definitely agree.
You got your drink ready? I heard your bottles rolling around in back there.
You said I hear no bottles rolling around. I want to just have me some whiskey and a bubbly. It don't go
so a little bit of the
bubbly. Yeah, no, it don't. I can't mix it because it don't go. So I'm going to just, what you call it, chase it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be on the call long enough, but if you.
Oh, I don't have that much whiskey.
If you see Chris Jericho on your TV screen,
oh yes,
You need to just like stop your attention and just watch it.
Did he have a match, or was he being amazing?
No, he was just being amazing.
Oh, you love to see it.
Yeah, yeah. But before we get there, let's keep our attention here and let's talk about SmackDown. That actually, everything that just about happened on this show that was noteworthy. Except for the women's stuff that you're going to talk about early. Null and void.
Oh, wow.
So I'll let you know when you get there. But so, Miss Didi Chaudhry, tell us about SmackDown Matters from the Performance Center once again.
Oh, that's right. We're from the PC. Michael Cole welcomes us to the show. He's still hyping Miz and Morrison defending their tag titles at Mania. Double B arrived. That's Banks and Bailey. To kick things off, Bailey hypes Mania. Banks agrees with her in regards to Mania being a nightmare due to Paige picking them in a five-way match. It's not fair putting them against each other. That will fail because they are great together. That's all what Bailey's saying. Banks isn't quite buying this. Lacey Evans arrives, and Banks mocks her and tells her that her daughter is ashamed of her. I thought she called the little child a nasty child, which is how I feel about the child. That's just me. You're not supposed to dislike children, and yet. But anyway, Lacey says she will break Banks' jaw and will beat respect into Bailey. That's not how that works. Thought you knew that. Naomi arrives, and Naomi says she has unfinished business with Bailey and will snatch Banks bald. Tamina, oh, that's rude, actually still employed, arrives and looking like an angry... She does look like an angry soccer mom. Well, we could give her lacrosse a little more violent. Or like European soccer. They take it serious. Not American soccer. No, like European. Okay, so yeah. Once Tamina arrives, she attacks Lacey and Naomi. Ooh, that's going to be hard at the family reunion. Bailey and Bangs join in, She attacks Lacey and Naomi. Bailey and Bangs join in, leading to Tamina scaring them away. I got it. It was words. I swear I didn't start drinking yet. Okay, do we care? We don't care. Do we care?
We care about Tamina. We always care to see Auntie Tamina. It's always good to see Tamina. At least I care.
That's when you call people auntie and you know it's not a compliment.
At least I care.
Okay. Drew Gulak and Nakamura. Is this the match where if he wins, then he gets the... I don't know.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yep. Was. Look at me. I remember the stipulation. Yeah, you sure okay, did. So if Drew wins, Sammy's going to face Daniel Bryan at the Rona Mania.
Yes! There we go, Shane.
Cesaro just saved Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing illegal about that. Hey, pipe down, referee. There's nothing illegal about that.
Nothing illegal.
Nothing illegal. No rules were broken. No rules are broken. What is this?
Cesaro's like, oh my god, and Nakamura taking advantage.
Right here, there you go.
And now Gulak driven right into our announce table and a kick.
Not looking so good, is it, Drew? Not looking so good.
And another
beautiful kick. Beautiful kick. Back off, Daniel.
You back off.
There you go. Beautiful kick, Shin.
And just
you
like
truly
that,
truly are a master.
Nakamura has taken control. Master. Yeah, he's a master with you and Cesaro helping him out.
What did I do? And what did I do besides sit here and offer support?
And look at Gulak now working on the leg of Nakamura, and suddenly Drew Gulak has turned things around. And again, and a sweep of the leg and tying Nakamura up on the second rope.
Come on, Nak.
You seem a bit, anxious tonight. Maybe a bit nervous.
Listen, I told you I'm not nervous. I am confident. I'm not liking how things are looking right now, but I have full faith that Nakamura will turn this around. I just need him. I need the referee to do his job.
Maybe you need Cesaro.
No, I don't need anything. I need the referee to do his job when he's in the corner. Come on, referee.
And Shinsuke Nakamura really favoring his left leg.
There
he moves
out of
the way.
What did I tell you, Cole? What did I tell you? He always finds a way. Watch this.
Nakamura
watch this.
Off the second rope and a knee.
Oh, my God. Precision striker. I love it.
Cover.
Come on. Two and
a kick out by Gulak.
But look at Shinsuke Nakamura. That's an example of how good Daniel Bryan could be if he followed me, if he stayed with the great Liberator, if he actually listened to the voice of reason around here.
You know, you're talking about a gentleman in Daniel Bryan who's won a number of world championships.
He's done all right for himself.
All right for himself. And one of the greatest moments
He's
in
great.
WrestleMania
He's
history.
Great. Hey, I got nothing but respect for him. I just know what he could be.
You're just upset that he turned you down, bottom line. And here's now Nakamura. Face first goes Gulak.
That execution. That execution. Oh, I know what comes next. I know what comes next.
Nakamura
here we go.
Nakamura looking
here we
for
go.
The Kinshasa to try to
pull. Kinshasa, come on.
Gulak away at Daniel
hey,
Bryan.
Hey, he pulled the referee.
Daniel Bryan roll up by Gulak.
No.
Jack Knight cover.
No.
Hey. Daniel Bryan's going to WrestleMania.
Hey, no, referee.
Here is
referee. The pulled him.
Gulak.
What?
Sammy, a turnabout's fair play.
Yes!
But nonetheless, Daniel Bryan's going to WrestleMania. Sami Zayn's going to have to defend his Intercontinental Championship.
That is a distraction. I am taking a drink. Thank you so much. Wow. That's a good Costco whiskey. My God. Whew. Okay. Cole discusses the Otis versus Dolph rivalry, including recent highlights. We see Dolph on the phone mocking Otis, and Otis arrives but is held back by Tucker and referees. Tucker's a good friend because I am very much in the realm of Babs from Making the Band. You remember the season when they had to go like walk over to get the cheesecake? Right. You remember what Babs said when the men were having a problem? Let them fight. I ain't breaking shit up. Good luck. I'll make sure you don't get jumped, but that's about all I got for you. You want to fight? Fight, baby. I ain't got it. I feel like people should get what they want. Like, if you want to whip that ass, that's me. Tucker's different. He's a good friend. He's going to keep you out of jail. Dolph challenges Otis to a match at Mania. Elias arrives and talks about his Mania match with Corbin and then sings a song mocking Corbin. I thought it was amazing. And it calls him a turd. Corbin attacks kind of out of nowhere. And after a long, drawn-out back and forth with creative editing and so on and so forth, he dumps Elias off that perch that Johnny Gargano and Ciampa fell off of. But unlike Ciampa and Gargano, whose fall was broken by basically an announcer's table, Elias, quote-unquote, fell and hit the ground flat.
Yeah, he went splat.
He went splat, according to what we saw on the TV. So that's why I was wondering a little earlier, like, how's my baby going to wrestle in a back brace? Because, you know, if you fall off of a perch 15 feet up, some ain't going to feel good. But, you know, the magic healing powers of Mania, who knows what'll happen.
That's right.
So we just have to look and see what happens. Next, there's a match with Alexa and Asuka. There's a double knee moonsault that misses to the floor and Bliss slams Asuka to the apron by yanking her arm back into the ring. Bliss covers for two. Then she finishes Asuka off with a DDT. I don't believe in fairy tales, so I don't know what this is that I just read. But that's what's on the paper, so sure, I guess.
That's funny.
That is wishful thinking. Anyway, they take a moment to hype Roman versus Goldberg, which, again, not happening. And then they show us the match from WrestleMania 32, Roman versus champion Triple H, the highlight of which was when Stephanie hit a Triple H sledgehammer, but Roman hit two Superman punches in the spear to win. Nah, we missing the part where Roman spears Stephanie. That was the highlight. Because they booed that man all match when he accidentally got Stephanie in his crosshairs. All of a sudden, he's got fans. And I was like, is this misogyny or just good booking? Like, what is this?
Probably a little bit of both.
Well, you know, a little touch of both. Yeah, probably. People are the worst. So anyway, Triple H joins us. It comments on Roman versus Goldberg since he's battled both. Again, none of this matters because it's not happening. He puts them both over, but feels Goldberg fades quickly after a burst, and that if it goes long, Roman wins. If you'll remember, that is how he beat the albino gorilla. Got him within the first 3 seconds, and that was a done deal. So it's something to keep in mind. Not for Roman, though, because he's not in the match. New Day hypes tonight's match with the Usos, Ethnics versus Ethnics. Dolph tells Sonya everything is coming together. Mandy arrives. She's asking questions like, why you care so much about Otis? Why are you being so mean? Like, yeah, you're cute and all, but I am not a prize to be won. You know, Princess Jasmine tease. So she's like, you're doing too much. Next is Firefly Funhouse time. Bray's excited to see us, and the Head Lantern is whispering to him. Bray says, you failed against Cena, but he won't. Bray has the recipe to beat Cena and mixes it up. It's no L.A. Park cooking show. I don't know what that means. La Parka? L.A. Park?
Uh-huh. L.A. Park.
I don't know who that is. Poor rambling again. Bray drinks it. Oh, the recipe to beat Cena. Oh, he drinks it and says they need more than an ordinary match and proposes a Firefly Funhouse match. No details given. We will all find out together as a family. So let's look forward to that. Then, your last match of the night is a number one contenders match of the Ethnics, the Usos versus the New Day. Kofi cuts off a dive. He jumps the Usos, and then he follows with a dive. Miz and Morrison are on commentary, so they're celebrating, having a grand old time. This leads to everybody fighting, and Big E hits the suicide spear. Miz and Morrison attack for no real reason and cause a no contest. Does that mean it's going to be a triple threat match? Ain't that how that usually happens?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, originality. They all brawl post-match, and Cole announces that to me. Ah, look at me. It's almost like I know things. They all brawl post-match, and Cole announces that the Mania tag match is now a triple threat match. I feel like, you know, it's cute for us at Mania, and, you know, it's fun to see, but anybody who's been in wrestling knows that if I make you a no contest at your number one contenders match, they take revenge on you by just giving you both the people. It's not like you get out of like something.
Right.
Like, ooh, I avoided them. So it's like, no, now you have even more chances to lose.
Mm-hmm.
The psychology isn't correct, but that's fine. That's not what I get paid to do. I just get paid to drink whiskey and judge from my house.
This actually is going to turn into just John Morrison versus Big E in a singles match. Because
this did a WrestleMania will.
Huh?
You saying WrestleMania will turn into that?
Yeah, that's the match.
Oh, really? Because everybody got the Rona?
Yep. Well, not really, but yeah. Because the Miz was sick, and the Usos was like, we out.
Oh, that's right. They quit.
Right.
Just temporarily. Oh, I see Jericho with brown hair. First of all, the rose gold jacket is a dream.
I think that's the last week. No, it's a different one. It's you.
Is it live or is it the video?
No, it's a live. He's gonna
okay,
be.
Okay, so then it's gonna come later.
Yeah.
This is just like a video package.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy how Moxley won't let the bangs go.
He's got that championship look.
Baby, just go bald. The beard is immaculate. Like, you can't help your male pattern baldness. It's not your fault.
Maybe Renee's not a big enough fan of it as you are.
Why would she be a fan of bangs is my question. Like, anytime you gotta brush your hair forward to get the tendrils to fall just right, that just ain't... That's not hot. And it's like his beard is flourishing, his skin look clear, got these nice little sunglasses on, filling out his little tank... It's not a tank top, but he's filling out his t-shirt real nice. I could see why she married him. You know, I could see why Young Canada went and got her the Crazy American. I'm just saying... The bangs just—it ain't the move, but it moves her, and that's all that matters.
You know what the move is, though. If you want to hear more of our AEW talk,
what?
Subscribe to our Patreon feed over on patreon.com/CSPN Media, and you can listen to me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite each and every week. So we talk about all the things, the happenings that are going on over there and the way that they are presenting the empty arena wrestling is a lot more entertaining. They've seemed to have a lot more fun with their approach and their presentation the last couple of weeks. So you guys definitely need to check out what we have to say about it. You can do that once again by joining us over on patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can support the show by becoming a $1 member or a $3 member or a $5 member. If you do sign up for the $3 or $5 tiers, you do receive access to the Dark Match each and every week and also any other extra content provided by CSPN. So, Miss Didi Jonet, it's time to talk about Monday Night Raw. We open with a video of The Undertaker and AJ Styles. They get the hype treatment for Sunday. That leads to The Undertaker talking about Alan Jones since they being real. He says he either have a big set or a big mouth, but he's writing checks that his ass can't cash. Mm. He said 10 or 15 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted to step to The Undertaker or the roster in the WWE. He says that AJ was a big fish in a little pond, and you waited until they all left but him. It was business until you mentioned his wife. He says that his wife does AJ's finishing move better than him. She got it over. He tells AJ he will pay the ultimate price in a boneyard, his idea. He asks him if he wants to be relevant at Mania, then the Undertaker will make that happen. Try me and I'll make you famous. He told him to bring those two ass clowns with you so they can feel the unholy trinity that he's bringing down upon them, and you will rest in peace. This was good.
Yeah.
This was like American Badass, Undertaker. This was like me, Mark, back in the day, WCW Undertaker. Yeah, this was, I liked it. Liked it a lot. Hmm. Becky Lynch is in the building. She reminds us about her victory at last year's WrestleMania over Ronda and Charlotte. And then she's like, let's take a look. And we took a whole look at this match, which saw Becky roll up Ronda to become the Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion.
Did it also show them shoulders eating up? Because that's what I heard on the
it sure did.
Twitter machine.
Yeah, it sure did.
You know, I don't care, but some people in the WrestleCast family were very upset about her shoulders being up.
Well, it was, I think, always supposed to be that way so she could come back and have a reason to challenge again. But because she wanted to, you know, be all fertile and maternal.
Go be a family man.
they couldn't have it come back. But I think that's the reason why her shoulder was up. The disputed finish, you know.
Yeah.
Video evidence. So after the match is over, Becky rejoins us. She says that Shayna is the latest to try to take her championship. She has things to prove and doesn't know who she is without the title. She knows she's starting to get to Shayna and knows Shayna wants to do one thing Ronda didn't do. She can finally steal Ronda's spotlight or she'll lose and be back in her shadow. Shayna attacks and chokes out Becky, slams her to the announce table, and lays out Becky Lynch.
You love to see it.
Aleister Black just deceased this young man, Jason Cade. Tripped him up, Black Mass, 1, 2, 3. Thanks for coming. They give us a hype video between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. Then Zelina Vega announces that Andrade is injured. He cannot compete. She has a replacement, and that replacement is Austin Theory. So that is the what we call the WrestleCast podcast rub. Because who are we talking about? You and Jade to the Mats talking about exclusively at the end of last week's show. Oh. Austin Theory.
Ah, look at us.
And now the man is moved on up and got on WrestleMania.
Listen, get with the winning team. Yeah.
We have a match between Kevin Owens and the Street Profits. They're teaming up to go against Seth Rollins, Austin Theory, and Angel Garza.
Austin Theory, a big forearm shot, 22 years old, has had some fantastic performances on NXT from Atlanta, Georgia, former bodybuilder, but has been putting together quite the resume in sports entertainment, claims he can go all day.
I wonder if Seth Rollins is looking at a guy like Austin Theory and thinking, here's a mind I can influence, here's another potential disciple.
Montez Ford able to make it to the corner. Oh, and a shot by Dawkins to Garza and Rollins. And now Dawkins launching Theory.
Theory's getting influenced by the physicality of Angelo Dawkins. On the corner and now Dawkins. Dawkins over the top, thought about the Bulldog. Caught himself and runs through Angel Garza on the outside. Just plowed through Garza. Now Theory in pursuit. And Dawkins levels Theory. Here he gets the same treatment and a super kick from Rollins.
All right, think you're good? Are you proud of yourself? Yeah, smile now. Come on, yeah.
Hey, Seth.
Now you're down.
Hazer Garza better be nervous. Cannonball! And now going up to the top. Kevin Owens wasting no time here. Seitan from the top. Cover on Garza. All right, broken up by Austin Theory. Austin Theory just in time. Montez Ford inserts himself right to the back of the neck. There goes Theory.
WrestleMania!
How can he not be fired up with Montez? Look out! Oh, gosh!
My God!
Montez Ford is down. Seth Rollins trying to slow him up. Montez Ford putting it all on the line outside the ring.
Incredible impact on Montez Ford.
Cover to kick out by KO.
Look at this angle here. I don't know.
Seems a tailbone on Montez Ford.
Stunner by Kevin Owens. Cover. Owens and the Street Profits win. Stop by Rollins. Rollins was lying in wait for his opportunity. He could have given a damn about the conclusion of this match. He wanted Kevin Owens.
Get away from him, man. Back off, all right? Come on.
It's like deja vu all over again. Seth Rollins with the stomp on Kevin Owens. That's exactly what Rollins wanted, because he knows that is the last thing that's going to be in the mind of Kevin Owens as he heads to WrestleMania.
After the commercial break, Kevin is laying in the ring. He's got the mic. He says Seth kicks some sense into him and says this space was built in spite of Seth because he came to WWE as an entitled dipshit, and he can see that. Kevin knows that he has a past to deal with, but he isn't delusional like Seth. Seth isn't a god. He has all the same accolades as Seth, but he didn't get them on his own. None of Seth's accomplishments came on his own either, and he needs to be honest with himself. The past doesn't matter, so come Saturday, they will finally battle one-on-one, and Kevin will beat him and take his first Mania moment from him and burn it down. Again. Positive interviews. When we go back to doing this for real, all the promos need to be taped in front of nobody. Wrestle, maybe have somebody do like one or two interviews with somebody holding the mic for them, but the rest of them, they just need to be like inserts with them in the empty place, because it is, you can hear more what they're saying, and it's, it seems like they're more focused because they don't have to try to put in the cheap shit for the crowd to react, you know, to make them react. Give us a Edge and Orton video package. Then Edge cuts a promo and talks about Randy Orton calling him a junkie for being Edge, and Edge agrees because he loves doing this so much. He loves the fans, and he came from them, and they are all junkies for this. If you aren't, you're just taking up space. He talks again about Orton being handpicked for Evolution and getting by on his family name, just oop, being okay.
But and it, I oop.
But it says, grit is making your own Hall of Fame career, fighting to come back after 9 years to end things on your own terms. Orton likes passion and only has it when Edge is around because he makes him better. That scares Orton, and the voices told him to make a horrible mistake. You almost had me thinking it could be over, but you attacked my wife, talked about my little girls, and pulled me back in. Edge is a man who dove through a flaming table just to grab the torch Orton took for granted. This time, Orton is falling, but he won't pull him back out. He'll push him down deeper, so deep he'll never come back out. And that is the end of the promo.
I like it. I love it, actually.
Yeah, Edge is the shit, man. He's one of these people that always do this. Chris Jericho is another person who's kind of done this. When you go do acting, they find that acting is so much easier than wrestling, but there's little things that they pick up in the acting as far as, you know, how to deliver your lines, how to look into the camera, how to inflect them, those little nuances that an actor has. Mm-hmm. And then when they come back to wrestling, you know, they can do the moves fine, but then the things in their promos and the things in their little creative things seem to tick up. And that seems to be what's happening with Edge during this as well.
Uh-huh. Why this man got a red...
That's the Murder Hawk. Lance Storm. Watch this match. Give me your real life analysis.
First of all, my little baby is like half of him.
Uh-huh.
Why did that... He's not an adult.
We're going to hold off on the next match and let you watch this and give us some live commentary.
I have never been more sure of anything in my life that this little child is 16. At the most. At the whole entire most. Like, he don't even got the body frame of like a grown... Oh, you better flip! Yes! Like, he's little. First of all, love the hair. Clearly, you know what your conditioning is. Co-wash, he does that. Oh, no. He, like, T-boned him out of the ring.
Yeah, he hit him with the pounce.
Poor baby. And it's like, how dare you get beat up by a man with red expressions hair and his ponytail, like he got a mohawk, but then he French braided the mohawk with red expressions hair. I ain't never seen such before. But I don't want him bullying my little baby. Like, he ain't do nothing. First of all, don't pull on his hair. His hair is his best part. Yo, he is like ragdolling him. No, and then he pulled him up, so now he was just trying to hurt the baby. Oh my God. First of all, who let that child get a tattoo? He's not old enough. Kick him in the head, just small enough. Kick him. Oh, that looked like that hurt. One, two, three. Okay, yeah, maybe that's for the best. Okay. Poor baby.
I'll continue watching.
Oh, what am I see? Why he got ponytail holders on his beard? He could be cute, but he needs a rethink. I can't. And first of all, he clearly had a tramp stamp. And then regretted the tramp stamp and covered up the tramp stamp with a tramp beer stamp. Like, yeah, because it's supposed to be like some graveyards on the small of his back, but that's not what it was originally. I know better. That's not what men do. Oh, no, he's going back to assault the baby. Where's Luchasaurus? Where's Jungle Boy? Where are his friends go? They got hurt?
Quarantine.
Oh, no, I thought they were there. Well, first of all, why is my baby in the denim jacket not helping? My little cool friend. He's going to throw him into the people. Oh, shit. Oh, they barely caught him. They didn't catch him. Oh, no. But he launched him. You know how, like, have you ever watched cheer commercials where they throw the littlest ones? It was very bad. Like, where they throw the one who's like 4'2" because she weighs the least. It's that. Like, that's what that was.
Yeah. Luckily.
Poor baby.
Orange Cassidy kind of clipped him and slowed him down.
Orange Cassidy, that's the baby's name. Yeah. I don't know why I want to call him Patches O'Houlihan. I know that that's not his name.
Because
it ain't nothing like his name, but I always want to call him that.
Because Billy Gunn and Austin Gunn were absolutely useless.
No. Like, there was like one arm from both of them. Like, that ain't it. Oh, Jesus. Poor baby. What I do enjoy is it Shivani? Tony?
Yes, Shivani? Tony Shivani. Yes.
And Colt Cabana. Tony Schiavone is shading the shit out of Colt Cabana. Colt goes like, I am a wrestler. He was like, yeah, you have had some success, right? I was like, you better read him.
Yes, so we had our this week's portion of DD watches AEW, but continue on because the Chris Jericho segment is coming up real soon.
All right, so now we're at Brody Lee, and we'll move on. He's not that important to me.
Right. Asuka faces off against Caden Carter. Oh, Caden Carter, her little cute self. Hopefully she's going to win some matches soon because, I mean, she keeps getting beat every time we see her. Carter lands a dropkick for two. Asuka follows with the German suplex. She lands a head kick. She puts Caden Carter in the Asuka lock, and Asuka gets the win. After the match, Asuka delivers a promo as only she can on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And basically, she's like, yeah, they own for the WrestleMania title match. I'm just paraphrasing. We get footage of Charlotte attacking Rhea Ripley outside of the PC. So Charlotte doing a little Ric Flair henchman work. Then they show maybe the greatest Brock Lesnar moment ever, in my estimation. When he beat up the Mysterios at last year's Survivor Series.
You are hateful is what your problem is.
And Dominic had a good minute, and then it all came crashing down. As when Brock F5 Dominic, I mean German suplex Dominic, then gave Ray an F5 to retain the title. You notice we haven't seen Dominic since, right?
Leave that baby alone. Maybe he went. No, he didn't go to college. They don't. Nobody's in college. I was like, well, maybe he went to go get an education, but no. No, he didn't.
The end of the night is just Paul Heyman coming out here doing what Paul does. He's talking about how Brock is the conqueror of conquerors. He says that Drew has stepped up. He's special, but compared to the guy on the street or the dumbass in the gym, he's special. He said compared to the talented locker room, he's special. But he said The Rock was special, but he got decimated by Brock. He said Hulk Hogan was special. He got destroyed by Brock. Randy Couture, John Cena, The Undertaker, all special, all legends, but ended up not so goddamn special. Just Brock's bitches. He says the Claymore is effective, but Brock's fought through more and dominated. Brock knows the Claymore is coming now, and either they will counter it or we'll find a way out of it if the Claymore can end Brock or not. Paul says that they will be in the same spot next year, talking about how Drew failed and got beaten fugly by Brock. Drew will walk into Mania special, and he'll just walk out Brock's bitch. Paul Heyman doing what he does the best. The best barrister in the world. Did you happen to watch the New Jack Dark Side of the Ring this week?
I don't know what that is. No.
Okay. All right. Dark Side of the Ring is the Vice show where they look at stories.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. There's a part in there where New Jack is on trial for the first incident where he assaulted a man in the ring with a very sharp object. It happened to be a teenager, but he lied. And anyway, so Paul Heyman takes the stand, and he and New Jack talks about just how Paul was working the court and the jury and everybody with his performance, and to basically help him get off is basically what he was saying.
Those are the kind of friends you need.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now it's time to talk about NXT. We start off with the Velveteen Dream. He's taking on Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish works the ankle lock, but the Dream makes the ropes. Dream fights off the sleeper. Then he hits the Dream Valley Driver. And the Velveteen Dream gets the win. Velveteen Dream still has a lot of ring rust. He looks about a step off. And he really hasn't had those tremendous matches like he was having before. Like, you know, like 8 months ago when he was really at the top of his groove as far as his pace and everything. So hopefully he can get his stuff together in the next few months. But he cuts a promo on Adam Cole, baby. Talking about how Adam Cole needs to put down a video games and open up his third eye so he can see what's ahead of him, which is the Velveteen Dream coming to take his title. Malcolm Bivens and the two big guys who beat up Matt Riddle last week are here for interview segment. Bivens introduces the guys, gives out their heights and their weights, has them say a little something. And he says that they are Bivens Enterprises and they are next and they are ready to take over. So what's funny about this is, so the interview lady is like, hey, Malcolm Bivens, we see, you know, last week you and your friends here made quite an impression. He's like, hold on. These aren't my friends. They're my associates. I'm a business manager. Dexter Lumis, in all his craziness, defeated Jake Atlas. Lumis chokes out Atlas with the Anaconda Vice. Yeah, this dude looks certifiable crazy.
Mm.
Did you watch NXT this week?
I had it on. I didn't necessarily watch it.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you saw him. He was the guy with the blonde hair, the blue eyes. He had the, like, green army pants on.
He looked crazy.
Yes.
And he was fighting some guy who was, like, on the browner side of life.
And he had the red tights on.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did. I saw him.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Dexter Lumis looks scary.
Yeah, he looks like a whole psycho. I was mildly attracted to him, and I had to check myself, like, wow. What's wrong with me?
Tells us what type of things you like.
Right. It's like, how embarrassing.
We get a Killer Cross vignette. Then we flash back to the big brawl in the PC between Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's time for a second chance gauntlet match as Shotzi Blackheart and Deonna Purrazzo begin the match. Shotzi hits the big senton from off the ropes and eliminates Deonna. Xia Li is next. Shotzi taps her out with the cattle mutilation variation. Then Aaliyah is next. Shotzi hits the tiger suplex, then taps her out with the same cattle mutilation variation. Then Caden Carter joins the match. Shotzi hits the knee strike. She hits her with the big senton, and Shotzi pins Caden Carter. So Dakota Kai is our last entrant. She's beaten down on Shotzi, but Shotzi manages to come back. She takes out Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez with the suicide dive on the outside of the ring. Shotzi then sends Raquel into the steel steps, but as she goes back in, she eats a kick to the face. Then Dakota Kai hits the go-to kick, and Dakota Kai advances to the six-way ladder match that will be taking place, I think, in 2 weeks on NXT. All the matches that were supposed to be on TakeOver are going to eventually find their way to NXT over the next month.
Mm.
Get a video package for Rhea versus Charlotte. Then we have Kushida versus Joaquin Wild. Kushida attacks the arm, but Wild counters with the jawbreaker. Kushida hits the back handspring elbow. Then he gets the flying armbar, and Kushida gets the win.
Yay!
Oh, excuse me. The number one contenders ladder match and Gargano and Ciampa. That's going to happen next week.
Mm, okay.
So that should be good. Make sure you tune in next week, Miss Didi.
I will.
Gargano and Ciampa. Yeah, you know, that's going to be good. Well, all right, give me an AEW update. Where are you at right now?
Are these Brody Lee's people?
Yeah. They're about to get stomped out here.
And then some guy with a horrible case of male pattern baldness.
That's QT Marshall. That's the dude you were like, oh, he's kind of cute.
So why, who is the cutie if he cut his hair? See, it has been established.
Yeah, he's tag teaming with Dustin.
Ah, here's the thing, older men. You want to make the bald look like a choice that you made, not a choice that you had to make, right? Right.
Kind of like what Steve Austin did when he had all that blonde hair and then it started crawling out.
Exactly. But you don't want, even, what's his name? He waited a little too long, but even Young Corbin, like, he let it go. Compare him to, say, like, a Stevie Wonder.
But to Stevie's defense.
Now he can feel it. Don't do that. And actually, he can see it, too. Stevie Wonder not really bald. You don't know that, though.
Oh, my gosh.
That man ain't really blind. He can see all these things. He see that hairline.
Yeah, that has been the prevailing notion since I've been on Twitter. And that's been over a decade.
Yeah, now I don't necessarily think he got great eyesight, but do I think he can see a little? Yeah, I do. Or hell, maybe he got spidey senses. I don't know.
Well, maybe Stevie Wonder can see well enough to tell us who's out here snatching people out of parking lots in NXT. Somebody else just got snatched up. Joaquin Wilde, he's out in the parking lot. I don't know why people continue to do interviews out here in this parking lot when it's such a dangerous place. I mean, you've only established this since the Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Hideo Itami days of NXT. You don't go roaming around in the NXT parking lot. But anyway, Joaquin Wilde's out there. He's getting an interview conducted. All of a sudden, you see some headlights come up in the background. Vehicle whips around, two guys jump out. Joaquin, they call him by his name, and he didn't really put up that much of a fight, but they escort him in the back of the SUV, and then they take off. So we have another brownish guy kidnapped by some masked men.
Sounds like racism to me.
Sounds like we might have something brewing here in the next couple of weeks. Can't wait to see.
So Dustin is too lazy to put his whole face on, so he just does half a face.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like a transition from WWE to the
AEW. I mean, it's red. It's not gold. Isn't that bad enough?
I think it would look too much like Darth Maul, and they might have copyright issues with that.
That makes sense. What if it was blue? No, blue would be ugly. What if it was silver? No, that's what Cody did.
Gotta have some workarounds, Miss Dee Dee, and that's probably the most logical one that they could come up with.
I mean, yeah, I can see why you would do half.
I mean, it's much better than what Roddy Piper did.
I don't recall any of those things.
Oh, WrestleMania 6. He wrestled Bad News Brown, who is an African-American wrestler. Basically a badass from Harlem. He's Classic Materia's favorite WWE old school wrestler.
Bad News Brown was a brown person?
Yes. You wouldn't have never guessed, right?
Like, how would anybody have known?
Like, he's like a legit badass. Like, he could have won in the Olympics, but they got canceled the year that he qualified to go.
That's trash.
Yeah, for judo. And him and Roddy Piper had a match at WrestleMania 6, and Roddy Piper came out with half of his body black. Yes.
What a shenanigan. Randy Savage would never.
And then somebody is either Mr. Perfect or one of the pranksters. They had that like Finn Balor paint or whatever where it wouldn't smear once he got wet or whatever. Somebody poured the solution out. So he had to go home and walk through the airport the next day like that. He said,
oh good, that's what he did. He put that paint all up in his armpit. He was committed. Oddly enough, this doesn't really look like blackface. It really just looks like he dipped himself halfway in oil. That is so interesting. This is like the least offensive blackface I've seen. Like, you remember when Triple H did what he did?
Right.
When they were mocking the Nation of Domination?
Right.
It doesn't give me that. I still wish he hadn't did the shit. with this big old white eyeball staring at me. Like, it's very creepy. But I've seen much worse. Well, first of all, that line's not even. So, okay. All right. Well, yeah. Okay, sure.
The 1990s. Wild time, folks. Wild time.
I can tell by this background. First of all, Mean Gene. Why would you put Mean Gene in a position to have to interview this shenanigan? What did Mean Gene ever do to you?
Mean Gene, our guy. Our guy. We're going to have to talk about this New Jack thing after this, too. So there's
going to be... Yo, this WrestleMania ad. Was this the 90s or the 80s?
It's 1990, I think.
It's all about the same. Oh, gosh. Well, you want to talk neon? They got that man that we don't like in his little yellow singlet with his yellow boots and red leg warmers. Got the Ultimate Warrior in his neon green and cocaine white cowboy boots. Like, I am undone. And then the background is like, in one version, it's fucking millennial pink with lightning. And in the other version, it's fucking magenta. Like, what is this? I love everything about this.
That is the creativity that was Vince McMahon at the height of his powers right there. That's when he was like involved in everything. When he, you know, nothing got passed without Vince saying yes.
Well, he should have said no. Ooh. I'm going to send it to you if I can find it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about the main event of this week's edition of NXT, the North American title match, a triple threat. The champion, Keith Lee, defended against Damian Priest. And our man, give it to me, DD, Dominic
Dijakovic.
Yes, him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damian Priest, a man who took a nightstick to the leg of Dominic Dijakovic a number of weeks ago.
Whoa.
Look at the power. Oh, but Dijakovic caught with a DDT. Could Priest capture the title? And Keith Lee takes him off of the cover. Oh, and there goes Priest to the outside. And now Damian Priest. Oh, man, Damian Priest.
Dijakovic wants none of it, and I don't blame him.
Damian Priest, look at his power. Hoisted up by Priest, and tossing Dijakovic to Lee.
Dijakovic looks like he's taking advantage of the situation that he's in.
And Priest wipes out everybody. Dijakovic, oh, time to fly, but he launched Priest into Keith Lee, who's using Priest as a battering ram.
He just hit Dominic Dijakovic with Damian Priest.
And a power bomb into the back of Dijakovic. And another one. Keith Lee exerting his will into this matchup. And another slam into the back of Dijakovic.
Keith Lee not letting up at all.
Inhuman swing and a spirit bomb. Lee, cover. Broken up by Dijakovic. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. The swing. No, the hurricane.
He pulled it off.
Dijakovic from the top with the elbow.
Damian Priest does not want Dominic Dijakovic to take advantage of his handiwork.
Boom! Oh, Priest and Dijakovic both wipe each other out. Double cover and a kick out by Keith Lee.
Oh, tell me he's got it. Did you see that in his hand, Tom?
Damian Priest looks like that is the retractable nightstick he's used in the past on both Lee and Dijakovic. There's no disqualifications in a triple threat match.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Oh! Went to strike Dijakovic. Face your eyes.
Oh, did he get the knee?
Oh, and there goes Priest. I think you're right, Sam. The nightstick struck the knee. And now Keith Lee with the big bang catastrophe. Keith Lee withstands the triple threat.
You love to see it.
And that is the way that this week's edition of NXT unfolded.
I have made it just in time to see your favorite wrestler in a bandana in a hot tub.
Oh, keep watching.
With a little bit of the bubbly. Oh my gosh.
Oh yes. Oh, as you could,
he is down tipsy in Tennessee with the Hell Horses or wherever he was.
Can you hear the? Do you have the sound up enough where you can hear it?
No, I don't have the sound.
Turn it up just a little bit so you can hear it.
Okay. Is he talking about Tiger King? Oh, isn't it Vanguard One? What we call that thing?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Is it gonna shoot him? That would be hilarious. Shoot him.
Chris Jericho is the best. The scene is amazing. He's in his palatial estate.
It is palatial. We love an in-ground pool with a hot tub connected. With the hot tub,
yes.
Yeah. And first of all, it looks wonderful. He has on pants.
That's the hot spot I was waiting for right there.
Does he have on denim? He has on full-length pants. They're not even cargos. Oh, my God. Oh my God. I am undone. Elbow to propeller. Oh, what is wrong with him? He threw the bobbly. No, we don't do that. That's the wrong. Oh, he's got puppies. Oh, they're cute. He got a chihuahua, he got a golden doodle, he got some badass, loud-ass dog. He got a Pomeranian. Oh, he live on the water, but the water's, like, dirty. That's amazing. Where he live, Florida? That looks like Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they said in the Tiger King video. He was like, he thought everybody was thinking he was down south. That's Florida water. I know Florida water when I see it. What the hell does Florida water look like? They're trying to like, no, Florida.
I haven't seen it, but apparently, like, this is just the most amazing, craziest thing that's ever.
When I tell you, literally all of them are problematic as fuck. Like,
and they got like a bunch of association with famous people too.
Yeah. It's like, it's weird. First of all, Cody was down there at one of them people's things holding on the little baby tigers, Cody and his little wife. And it's like, ooh. Oop. But yeah, like, the one guy who it starts off being in about, apparently he's problematic as fuck. And like, I don't want to say trick because that ain't what it is, but he like ends up in relationships with supposedly straight men who all have like drug problems.
And it's like interesting choices, right?
Right. And then like everybody who works for him has like either drug issues or abandonment, it like some kind of issue. Then he's like, his arch enemy is this woman down, and I guess she's in Florida. And he's like, she act like she's so much better than me. She ain't no better than me. She's just as bad as us. I saw how she was treating them tigers. They live horribly. She's just as bad as I am.
And so it's like competing tiger visiting
not even
places.
Like competing, it's like if he's like the cheap country version of like your local zoo, right, and so he's doing all kind of shady shit, but right. He's got the tigers and you get close to him, so ooh, cute. She's down there like doing quote unquote tiger rescue.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he's like, she ain't rescuing no tigers, it's not like she's putting them back into the wild. So what's the difference? It is the same thing. But it's like, whereas his people are like pretty low income, pretty poor, like their tigers get fed shenanigan ass food, like the leftover food from the local grocery store.
Oh yeah, so that basically like the redneck like version
of a cow that was roadkill.
Right.
I don't remember her going real deep into like what all she was feeding him, but then there's this other guy in like Myrtle Beach. Now he's a little creepy, little creeperson too, because he got all these like fake ass sister wife kind of shit, but like he got them when they were like 17, and like then he changed their name, maybe they get a little breast augmentation. It's all very suspicious. But then he treats his tigers a little different, so they asked, I don't remember what they said to the girl, but they asked the little country shady boy how much it take to feed his tigers. He said about 3,000. They asked the guy in Myrtle Beach how much it cost to feed his tigers. He was like 10,000. So I was like, so the difference in quality is obvious right there. But it's all a shenanigan. And then little girl down in Florida, they were like, she killed her husband. And they were like, what? This is all allegedly, because I don't know what that woman did. But that's what he had said. And so they said they were going to like reopen the case, because she was like, no, he just disappeared. He's had Alzheimer's. So just like, oh, okay, sure. But it's just like, everybody's awful. And then like even like the third party people and the I happen to like, it's a web of just ain't shit people. And it's like, are you awful because you want tigers, or do the tigers make you awful? Like, how is everybody horrible? Like, how could it be? Like, nobody's nice, nobody's normal. Well, there is no normal, but no,
I mean,
like,
they have tigers as pets. That's you gotta be messed up to do that. It's
crazy. And then there was this one. They said that the guy said that they put something on his shoes to make the tiger like want to attack him. What? So the tiger like bit his shoe and like yanked him down, but he didn't really attack him, but I guess it felt like he was. So the guy had to like shoot his gun off. And so you can see him on video talking about, I'll kill you, back the fuck up, like yelling at the tiger like the tiger know English, like back the fuck up. And whole time there are people filming this, nobody's helping. Nobody's like, hey, get away from him. They're just looking. He was like, they tried to kill me.
You know how people do. They probably thought it was a part of the show.
I was just like, because guess what I'm not going here to do? Save you from a tiger.
Exactly.
Like, you shouldn't have been up in there playing with them. They ain't your friends. Oh, but then they said something real tragic. They said that the real money comes from, like, the tiger interactions, and you really can only interact with like baby tigers, so right. You have to end up like doing like a tiger mill basically. And then it's like, okay, but once they're done being cutesy little baby tigers, then they're big ass tigers. And what do you got to do with big ass tigers? Feed big ass tigers. Who's got money for that? Mm-hmm. Nobody. So then the tigers disappear, and then they were like, yeah, I've heard that some get sold, and then others dot dot dot. Right. So it's like, it's so mercenary, and it makes you be like, I don't want to go see any animal. And it, first of all, zoos are not great when you really think about it. And so then you're thinking about like even these fly by night places, and you're like, oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. It's just like, forget it. I want to hug a tiger, but I don't want to hug a tiger. I don't need to hug a tiger. I could do it in my imagination. Yay, tiger. So yeah.
That sounds very interesting.
It's interesting. If you like a good conspiracy, if you like murder, well, there was a suicide. Oh, there's a missing arm. Yeah. This guy got his arm bit off. It's great. Not really great, but it was like, and then also it wasn't all the way off, but they were just like, we can fix it, but then you'll have to go through like a lot of physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, just cut it off. It's fine. So he's like up in there, went back to work a few days later with his little nub, and I'm like, that ain't me.
Yeah, that's a executive decision I'm not willing to make.
Listen here, you bite my hand off, that was you telling me you don't want me working with you. I will take that as you fired me. Like, oh well. When you fed all my arm, get out of my face.
No. Did you watch ECW, or were you into ECW, that?
You mean like ever?
Yes. liking the height of it, or did you catch on to it later?
Tommy Dreamer was a big thing.
Right.
I know Bubba was there for a little while. I used to have a big old crush on Bubba, right? See, choices. But yeah, who else was over? Wasn't Raven over there for a little while?
Of course.
Yeah, I remember a little bit. I wasn't deep into it, though.
Tommy Dreamer and Raven had one of the longest running feuds ever, where Tommy Dreamer lost like almost every time. I think he only won like one match.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Elbow Greetings. Yes. Because Sammy is what? Latino. And they're what? A clean people. Probably got Fabuloso in his pocket. Wait, is that? That was funny.
So they had a particular fellow by the name of New Jack. And
at ECW.
Yes.
Okay.
And
I don't know him. Let me get to the Googles.
Yes. And New Jack was probably definitely the most craziest of the bunch of all the crazies over in ECW at the time.
Oh, he's a black man.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
He started out in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Why his forehead look like that? Because he was in ECW.
Uh-huh. And Jim Cornette said that when he was young, that the way he could talk and the way that he had, he said that he put a lot of NWA, LA, South Central LA into his initial character. And Jim Cornette ran a promotion that was, the fans were mostly white and hillbilly. So mm-hmm. Jim Cornette was like, it was perfect. He was like, all I told him was, go out there, piss off white people. And he was like, it was gold. So like his very first interview, they show like him in the ring. He's like, I'd like to give a shout out to my homeboy, OJ Simpson. He was like, keep up the good work. He was like, that's two less we have to worry about.
You can't do things like that. That's funny.
Yeah, he's like,
oh, he's old.
Oh, yeah. So this is like, you know, 90s. So there's this one thing where they recreate the Rodney King beating, but they flip it, and Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express is like a god in like Southern wrestling, right? Like anywhere from, I say, Maryland all the way down to Florida, like all those states, like over from like West Virginia, Ohio, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, all those states right there, Louisiana, all those states right there. Ricky Morton is a god, right? So what happens is they were called the Gangstas, and D'Lo Brown was a part of them.
Uh-huh.
And so they run in on Ricky Morton, and they basically reenact the Rodney King beating, but it's the black guys beating up Ricky Morton in front of all these white people with nightsticks.
Oh,
yeah. And they're just talking about how much, you know, the fans were so mad and they had to get the police to escort them out and stuff. But then he goes to ECW, and when he goes to ECW with all the violence and stuff, he starts to turn it up. And then, starts having these incidents, because his thing is he likes to cut people. He likes to stab people. My first New Jack match I ever saw, it was like a battle royal, like a weapons battle royal or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. He stabbed two people with a fork, used a cheese grater and a pizza slicer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then they show, and so the show, the title of the show is called The Life and Crimes of New Jack. And so he's got four real incidents where, like, he could have went to jail for stuff that he did in the ring.
Mm.
They show this incident where he actually reaches in his pocket, pulls out this, of course, it's an independent show. Pulls out this shank and starts stabbing this dude. And D'Lo Brown's reaction to watching this cold, like he's never seen it before. And they show it. He's like, So they're at the same time they're showing D'Lo Brown's reaction, New Jack is talking about what's happening. So mm-hmm. it's like New Jack is like, so he's pushed me up against the ropes. He's like, you know, like he hit me for real. Bow, hit me once. Bow, hit me twice. Bow, hit me three times. Like, yo, what's going on? So so they show D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown's like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? He's those blows look kind of. So like, oh, shit, he done pissed Jack off. And so then they switch back to New Jack. And New Jack's like, so I started, I was like, motherfucker, you trying to handle me? You trying to handle me? So then they switch back to D'Lo Brown, and it's like, oh, shit, Jack's talking to him. Jack's talking to him. So, like, New Jack, like, rushes across the ring, and he's like, oh. He's like, the way he just rushed across the ring, he's about to do something. So all of a sudden, the guy gets New Jack up against the ropes, and then he's like, oh, shit, Jack's going in his pocket. He's going reaching for something. And he pulls out the thing and starts stabbing the dude like around the shoulders area. And oh. D'Lo Brown's reaction is like, oh, is he stabbing this motherfucker? Oh, oh my God. It is gif worthy, his reaction. God. But yes, this is, if you thought that, like, Chris Benoit was crazy for like a whole different reason, this is crazy on like, oh, this dude right here is really crazy. He took a big bump where he used to do these dives out of the balconies where he would like, you know, 20 feet.
Oh, they used to do that at ECW.
Yeah, I remember. 15 feet, whatever.
Yeah.
So this one night against Vic Grimes, he was going to do it. And Vic Grimes got up there and he got scared. He was like, oh, Jack, I don't think we can do it. And he was like, Vic, we're going to do it. It's pay-per-view. And so he's like, we're going on three. And he said when he pulled them off, Vic Grimes did a flip. And when he did a flip, he landed on his head. He landed, his body landed on New Jack's head and it cracked his skull. Yeah. So he said he like blind in his right eye.
That's crazy.
He has headaches. He has insomnia. He said he also broke his leg.
Oh.
So he said,
how's that all?
So he said he was out for like a year. Or more. Wow. And he said, so they had like another, so he came back, he wrestled with Vic Grimes again in this like huge ass scaffold. I mean, like this thing is probably like 50 feet in the air. This thing is fucking huge. And they get up there and he was like, oh yeah. He was like, he's like, what'd you do to Vic Grimes on the scaffold? He was like, oh, I tased that motherfucker. He's like, I went to the damn store and I bought a taser and I tased him. So they show it. They're up on the scaffold. You're wrestling him. He gets him down. He reaches his pocket. And he starts tasing him. And Vic Grimes is like, Jack, I can't feel my legs. He's like, oh, where you going? You won't need them. And he's like, bombs away. And he literally, DD, throws this man off this. You know how Undertaker threw Mick Foley off the Hell in a Cell?
Yeah.
Like by his pants and his shirt and tossed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did that to this man on purpose and tried to throw him on the floor. And he was like, I just didn't throw him hard enough.
Wow. That's a bad man.
Yes. If you've never, Vice TV is probably online. You can probably watch it online. If you don't have Vice or don't know what channel that is on your cable thing. But yeah, check out The Dark Side of the Ring is back. So this was the second episode, New Jack. You're going to do Brawl for All next week, which is going to be real good. So yeah, check out The Dark Side of the Ring. I definitely, Tuesday nights, there's really no wrestling going on that night. So interesting stories about some things you do know and some things you've probably forgotten. Or some things you didn't know about in some cases. But yeah, this is one of the interesting ones. I'll be interested to see what the ratings are when this comes out. But yeah, Miss Didi Jota. And then one last final nugget is just to tell you what type of guy we're dealing with and just the type of insanity that his matches would bring. When he would wrestle in ECW, remember the song Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and Natural Born Killers? It would just play on loop for however long his match was.
That is crazy.
Yeah, man. ECW in the 90s. Oh, my gosh. A lot of guys broke a lot of stuff and started a career of, like, dependency on drugs and pain pills because they wrestled in ECW. Mm-hmm. But for that period of time, probably like a 4-year period, yeah, they were the brightest thing in the sky.
Wow.
So before we sign off, I just want to remind everybody, Saturday and Sunday, use the hashtag RonaMania to live tweet with us and share your pro wrestling commentary with color on WrestleMania 36, the two-night event taking place in these very unprecedented day and times that we are living in. Looking forward to everybody joining us and getting together as a family virtually. We'll entertain each other and have some fun and get these jokes off. And hopefully the wrestling will be worth a damn.
Good luck with that.
So, Miss Didi Jonet, at this time, give us your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to you. Shout out to me. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Greg and the baby. Shout out to the chairman. Mel, because Mel always gets shout out still. Shout out to Jade and Tati. Tati got the good Charlie Baltimore hair. Her hot pink do-rag. So she's doing big things. So definitely shout out to her. Shout out to everybody who listens to the WrestleCast. No Rona. Team No Rona. So stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't breathe on people. Et cetera, et cetera.
Stay away from old folks, too.
Listen, stay away from everybody, especially old folks.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to everybody here on the CSPN, especially Miss Didi Jonet back again with me here on the WrestleCast for episode 281. Thank you to the guys over at the Hill Heat podcast. Please check out their latest episode where they're talking about some of their favorite WrestleMania memories and not so fond memories as well. Please, like I said, check out the Dark Mass over on the Patreon page and just check out the CSPN in general. If you do like the WrestleCast, you'll probably like a lot of the other shows that we have here on the network. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to everybody out there on the network who uses all the hashtags. Like Didi said, stay safe. Take the precautions. If you have to go out, wash your hands a lot. Hey, here's also a pro tip. Stock up and eat a lot of oranges. They said vitamin C. Yeah, something about the vitamin C kind of can keep you safe out here. So I know I've been getting my share of oranges in. So, you know, do whatever you can to, you know, stay safe, take the pills, eat your vitamins, whatever. But pump up your vitamin C and it sounds like you might be able to, you know, fight this thing off, or it might not be as bad if you kind of get some immune system built up with some vitamin C. Latest rumor I heard like the other day. So I was like, oh, I was ahead of the game. Yeah, so please, everybody, stay safe out here so we can talk to you next week about the aftermath of WrestleMania. I don't know what we're going to have going forward from WWE, especially. They taped the Raw after WrestleMania, but now with the kind of the thing with Roman and guys kind of leaving Florida after the WrestleMania tapings, everybody's got to be quarantined for 14 days. So I don't know what their programming is going to look like in a couple of weeks, but whatever they offer us, we'll figure something out and we'll be here on the WrestleCast. So for my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 281 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
AJ Styles. Or should I say, Alan Jones. I mean, since we're being real now. You know, for such a small man, you got a really big mouth. And I don't know if you have a big set. You're just really that stupid. Either way, your mouth's writing checks, your ass can't cash. I'm sure you thought by dropping some pipe bombs, you'd get under my skin. Son, I've heard a lot worse, far better than you. And although I must admit, there are some truths to what you've been saying. You said maybe 10, 15 years ago, you probably wouldn't want to try me. You damn right you wouldn't want to. You were content being a big fish in a little pond because you knew back then you didn't have what it takes to hang with The Undertaker, Stone Cold, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Mick Foley, Eddie Guerrero, Booker T, Edge, the very best this business had to offer. The phenomenal one, my ass. You waited till they were all gone. Except for me. And I'll be the first to admit, I've got far more matches behind me than I do in front of me. But Alan, you stepped in something now there's no coming back from. Foolish pride is making really bad decisions for you. All the things you said about me, I get it. I do, it's just business. Where you crossed the line, though, was the first time you mentioned her. I think your pride is playing games with you again. I think you're mad because she does the Faith Breaker, AKA the Styles Clash, better than you do. She got it over. No matter the reason, you're gonna pay the ultimate price for disrespecting her. My wife, Michelle McCool. And you're gonna pay that price in a boneyard. Remember, that was your idea. You wanna be relevant at the Showcase of Immortals, WrestleMania. Better to make that happen than The Undertaker. Try me. I'll make you famous. And I hope you bring those two ass clowns, Gallows and Anderson, with you. All three of you can feel the wrath of the unholy trinity I'm bringing with me. Just know you will feel the pain. You will get hurt. Will suffer. And most importantly, you will rest in peace.